Psychic Joyce Keller writes me, George, I had the privilege of being with John of God in Brazil for 3 weeks. It was amazing. I went primarily as a researcher and really enjoyed the entire experience. In addition, they bake their own bread, make their own soup, and feed hundreds of people every day for no charge whatsoever. I saw in meditation what a magnificent green-spaced frequency matrix surrounds the entire John of God property as well. Thank you, Joyce. Good update. I'd like to interview him one day. That would be fascinating. We're going to come back in a moment with Barry Eaton, his book, The Joy of Living, and your phone calls. If you have experienced any kind of psychic, intuitive event that fits into what we're talking about tonight, share it with us. Okay, welcome back to Coast to Coast. Let me update a story that some of you may be aware of. Most of you do not at this time. Three people dead following what police are calling a random shooting at a Walmart in Colorado near Denver. The suspect has not been apprehended yet. Two men and a woman were killed in the random shooting. My gosh. When does it stop, Barry? When does it stop?
Well, that's a big question, isn't it? If we could answer that question... It's very easy from my point of view, because here in Australia, we don't have the same gun laws as you do, and it's made a huge, huge difference. But I'm not going to go there because it's too politically sensitive.
It is. It is. I happen to be a concealed weapons permit holder. Well, that's a different show all by itself.
Yeah.
All by itself. So when you started this, when you were a little boy, did you have these same abilities?
I guess I did, but I just didn't.
You didn't know what they were.
One thing, though, I've always believed deep down that we have past lives, that this is only one life of many. I've always known that, and it's something that's always fascinated me.
I believe that, too. But was there a point where you realized, I've got this ability? I mean, how old were you?
Oh, well, this was back probably in the very early 90s. When I did my astrology diploma course, and at the end of that, we had a few lessons on tarot, and all of a sudden it clicked in with me, and I suddenly realized, whoa, I've got a bit of a leaning in this direction. I'd already discovered that I was able to pick up astrology, and I believe that was from a past life as well. But it wasn't until the early 1990s.
What would you recommend to people who are going through cancer treatment right now, who don't have the knowledge or the ability at this point that you had?
Well, the first thing is not to give your power away, to retain that power. And by just going to the doctor and saying, doctor, doctor, heal me, that is not going to help you, I believe. You have got to start taking some kind of responsibility for it. Now, obviously, nobody's going to do the same journey as I am. Nobody's going to do the same journey as you are, George. We are all here on our own unique human experience journey. But by at least accepting responsibility of some description and starting to look and see what you can do about it. I don't expect people to follow my book word for word, hint for hint, inspiration for inspiration, but I'm hoping that it will inspire them to do something for themselves rather than sitting back and just waiting for somebody else to do it, which is happening all too much in general life situations these days.
You have received a lot of help from alternative practitioners. You've gone through hypnotherapy, energy healing. What would you say was the most effective for you?
Well, it was a combination, but I must say that hypnotherapy opened my eyes in many ways, because when I agreed that the mainstream medicine treatment that I was going to have would be radiation, then I had to go in and have a fitting for a mask and all these things, and I suddenly realized that I was going to be bolted down on this tray with a mask fitted over my face, neck, and shoulders and bolted in place so that I couldn't move. And I thought, oh my God, here we go. I'm going to really get into the claustrophobic scene here. So, and this is where my guides had helped me in all this, what I realized later, because a few months before all of this, this lady called Judith Richards contacted me out of the blue to say, I want to introduce myself. This is what I do. I'm a hypnotherapist. I specialize in trauma areas. She said, I don't know why I'm contacting you, because I've never done this in my life before, and I don't know why I'm doing it, but here I am. Now, we've gone on to become really good friends since then. So when all this happened, I thought, I've got to go and see Judith. I've got to go and try this hypnotherapy and just see for myself if I can do something. Well, I went to see Judith, and I had this incredible session with her with hypnotherapy to be able to calm my nerves and lie on my back for 35 different treatments of radiotherapy. And I'm thinking, I really have breathing problems lying on the back at the best of times. Well, Judith put me through the paces, and she was absolutely fantastic. But the thing that came out of this for me, George, was afterwards, she said, do you realize that when we went in there and I accessed your subconscious, you believe that you actually deserve to have cancer, and not only that, but you deserve to die. And I said, you are kidding me. She said, no, that is exactly what came out of your subconscious. Your higher self said you deserve to die. And I said, my heaven, what?
She said, well, the normal you would never have felt.
No. My subconscious might have been saying that, but my conscious mind was screaming, what on earth are you talking about, you great idiot? But she said, this is quite common, that people in their subconscious have programmed themselves in some way or been programmed, perhaps by the system, I don't know, that they deserve what is happening to them. Now, it occurred to me afterwards, I wonder how many of us who don't get this kind of help that I got from Judith in recognizing this and dealing with the subconscious, I wonder how many people don't survive, whether it's cancer or many other things, because of this subconscious undermining that's going on.
All right, let's go to the phones now. First-time caller Jim in St. Louis, Missouri. Hey, Jim, go ahead. You with us? Nope, he's gone.
I think we've lost Jim.
Let's go to Michelle, though, in Sacramento, California, west of the Rockies. Go ahead, Michelle.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. Long-time listener.
Thank you.
I have very low kidney function. It hovers around the teens. About 4 years ago is when I was told about this. Because of traditional and alternative therapies, I have kept, I'm in a critical state, but stable. I'm wondering if there's anything I'm missing, anything else I can do. Thank you.
Well, what do you think about that, Barry?
Well, obviously, here I am in Australia. I can't diagnose anything. I wouldn't even if I could.
That's not your abilities.
It's not my ability. I'm not a medical medium. But I would suggest that if you've got doubts, is to go into it. And as we were saying before, Michelle, it's what you focus on. If you can focus on seeing whatever it is that you have at the moment, healing. Now, I knew somebody years ago, and she had cancer, and she visualized these two little guys mining away inside her, getting rid of all this, and she called them Bill and Ben or something, and they were shoveling away all this blackness and throwing it down a chute, which was disappearing out into the universe. And she survived for many, many years because of this positive approach. She did something, but she did it through the power of the mind. So perhaps that's something you could have a think about. But if not, I would be going along and speaking to some naturopaths or some various other people and getting some expert advice here. It's not something I can really go into on a personal level from about 12,000 miles away.
Barry, did you increase your natural abilities? I mean, did you take more supplements and things like that?
Well, the funny thing is I had to give vitamin C away, which I was taking at the time, because of the radiation that I was going to have. But I kept on most of the other things. And then afterwards, I had to change my diet a lot because of the various things that I was taking. But the other thing was I was told that I was going to have painkillers, and you're going through this opioid controversy here in the States at the present time. Now, I was told that you were going to have a very bad throat because of the targeting here and whatever. You'll need these painkillers. So I was given these painkillers. I said, well, when you have this and halfway through, we'll give you these extra, extra strong ones so you won't have to have any pain. Well, I only ever took one because I wanted to go out for dinner that night with Anne at the very beginning, and I wanted to make sure we could go and have a nice spicy curry. After that, I did not have to take one single painkiller for the whole time, and the doctors just couldn't believe it.
I love that story.
And that was because I focused in and really focused on the fact that I didn't need them.
First-time caller David in Virginia, welcome to the show. Hi, David.
Hey, how are you guys doing tonight?
Great, Dave. Thanks. Glad you got in. Go ahead.
Yeah, first-time caller, long-time listener, and great to talk to you guys tonight. As I was explaining to the screener there, I mean, I don't know if you would call it intuition, but I've had these things pretty much all my life. At one point, when I was married to my second wife, I would be in the kitchen either preparing dinner or things like that. Like sometimes she'd be at the grocery store or out making running errands or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I would have conversations with myself out loud as if she were there, and I could hear her responses. And the conversation would start off with her saying something, and I would say something. But like I said, she'd be out running errands, and when she came home after running errands at a grocery store, whatever, first thing out of her mouth was the start of the conversation that I was having with myself.
So she was picking up on that too.
No, she wasn't picking up on it at all.
Not at all. Okay, she wasn't picking up your conversations. All right.
No, she wasn't picking up at all. I would tell her, I know you have questions, and here are the answers. I'll give you the answers as soon as you ask the questions. I already know what the questions are going to be, and so on and so forth. And she looked at me like I was some kind of freak or nut.
Huh.
I would say, listen, you know, just go with it. Trust me. And I would tell her, this is the question you have. She would look at me like, you know, her mouth was wide open. And it was one point, I mean, we're living in Pennsylvania, I would tell her, you want KFC? And she looked at me and she said, I wish you would stop that.
You were tuned in. You had clairvoyance. You had this ability. But I'm also convinced, Barry, because I've experienced this, that if you really know someone well, you tend to get tuned into them in a remarkable way. I would, with people that I know, I would do an experiment. They had a 20% chance of getting this right, but I always had them pick a number from 1 to 5 in their heads and kind of send it to me. Like, you know, put it on a blackboard, write that number with a piece of chalk in your mind. And again, the odds are 20% you're going to get it right, 1 out of 5. I would get it right 80% of the time.
Yeah.
It was uncanny. Only with people I knew well, not with strangers. With strangers, I went right back to the 20%, you know, maybe 40, but it was 20 most of the time. But with people I really knew, the clairvoyance was uncanny. Now, how do you explain that?
Well, that comes back to your own self-belief, doesn't it, if you think about it? You're confident around, as David is confident, that he can communicate with his wife while she's out running errands, and he's able to do that by relaxing and then believing in himself and knowing the fact that he can tune into her thoughts, having this conversation with her. He is probably actually having a conversation with an aspect of her that she just doesn't realize in the conscious state of her mind. And it's the same thing when you were doing those things, George, where you were communicating and getting 80% because you were confident. As soon as you put yourself into the unknown area of being with people that you didn't know, and automatically the human response kicks in, whoa, hang on, what if I make a bit of a fool of myself here? So part of you closes down. But once you can open yourself up and trust and believe in yourself, then why can't you have 80? Why can't you have 100%?
Exactly. Let's do a quick experiment. With everybody listening, send me an email, see if you get this right. 20% of you will, technically. I'll even throw you in here, Barry. I'm going to send you a number. I've written it down. I'm going to show my board op and my executive operations director, Dan Galanti, the number. And then when you're ready, I'm going to send it to you. So
okay.
Everybody clear your minds and I'm going to send you a number right now. Okay? Now, for you, Barry, what number was it?
Well, I kept on getting 5.
No, I sent to everybody a 3.
A 3.
Did you think 3 at all and change your mind?
No, I got 5 from very early on. I don't know why.
Okay, all right. I'll be interested to see how many 3s I get. Of course, I'll never be able to scientifically analyze this, but I'll get 20% of them in for sure. Let's go to Brian in Denver. Welcome to the program. Brian, before we get going, let me ask you, is there anything new in Denver about this shooting?
No, unfortunately nothing.
Sad story.
Been able to find him.
another crazy, but go ahead, Brian.
I wanted to say that me and my ex-wife were having some problems, so we went to, instead of a counselor, it was an energy healer, and she offered her services as a counselor, and she could read auras. And the thing that she told us right up front, she wouldn't counsel us if we were going to lie to her. And if you can read, if she could read your aura, she could tell whether or not you're lying. And we went to 2 sessions because, well, I guess my ex-wife couldn't figure out how not to lie, but yeah. And she was right on. She pulled stuff like just how my ex-wife, when she was young, she got, you know, sexually molested and stuff. Like, she didn't, I didn't even know that. And she's like, hey, guess what? This is a big problem right here. You're going to have to address this.
Wow.
And she's like, what are you talking about? And she's like, this. And she's like, how do you know that? Like, I haven't told nobody. Yeah. It was pretty interesting. And then I have a question.
How
do you know, or how can you find if you're meditating correctly, or if you're getting the best meditation out of it?
I would say, Barry, that you would know if you're getting results, and that is intuitive results are coming quicker and things like that. Barry, how do you answer that?
Oh, look, I totally agree with you, George. And I mean, it's in any learning process, when you're opening up to this whole area, you're going to make mistakes. But even top clairvoyants make mistakes. Not everybody's right all the time. I mean, I just blew it on a 5 instead of a 3. But none of us are perfect. If we were perfect, we wouldn't need to be here in the first place. But to be able to go in there and trust as much as you can, that's the whole deal.
I think so, too. Have you practiced telepathy at all?
Yes, I have.
That's remarkable all by itself.
I have. I was, many years ago, I was homesick one day. I think I'd lost my voice. I couldn't go on air on the radio program I was doing, so I was told just to stay in bed. So I lay in bed, and I visualized because I knew my mother was at home, and I visualized her sitting in the kitchen where she normally used to sit and looking out over the harbor, and I thought, okay, ring me. And I just said to her, ring me, ring me, ring me, ring me. And I just kept on saying that, visualizing her. After about 10 minutes, the phone rang, and it was her. There was no reason for her to ring me. She would have thought I was at work normally.
I love that story. Barry, stay with us. We're going to come back in just a moment here on Coast to Coast AM with final phone calls. What a fast night. The Joy of Living, Postponing the Afterlife. The book is available at Amazon.com, of course, and a number of fine outlets. Barry's website, RadioOutThere.com. And welcome back. Our final segment with Barry Eaton, the author of The Joy of Living, Postponing the Afterlife. And Barry, we're going to take final calls here in just a moment. What would you recommend to people who are having these kinds of experiences, but they just don't know what they are?
You mean the intuitive or unusual paranormal
experience? The unusual,
experience?
All of them.
Well, the word paranormal, I think, has been bandied about too much, because what is normal, what is paranormal? Can anybody define normal? I think we've got, as I said before, wonderful abilities that we've had squashed over many, many, many generations. We've got it there, and it's up to us to decide what we can do about it. I mean, David there talking a while back that he was able to communicate with his wife while she was out shopping. I know a lot of other people communicate with people who've passed over. And they say, oh, I talked regularly to my mother, my father, my grandmother, whatever. They really can do it, and the people on the other side can hear this. We can communicate. We can communicate with each other telepathically. We've got to just focus on doing it, and we can open ourselves up to these amazing powers that we all have but we've just had them sort of educated and civilized out of us.
All right, back to the calls we go. Let's go to Tim in 29 Palms, California. Welcome to the show, Timothy. Go ahead.
Hello, Mr. Norrie and guest. How are you?
Good, Tim. Thank you.
Hi, Tim.
Thank you. I love your show. I've been listening to you since you got there with right after Art Bell. I've been listening a long time.
George,
what I was calling about, I've been taking hydrocodones for over 34 years, the 16th of this month. The past 6 months, I've been getting really sick every time I take the medicine. I don't take any stronger than a 10-325 they call Norco. But it's making me literally sick. I've been in the ER now 3 times recent because of colitis. I had a bout with that. What I'm concerned about is when I don't have my medicine, I sit in a daze and I'm scared. I can't draw a thought hardly. It's been going on, like I say, about 6 months now, really intensely. And I listened to you emphatically for suggestions and things. I'm not a very bright man, but I've listened to you for so many years. That's where I get my education.
Got your PhD listening to the program.
Yeah, a lot of my friends think I'm actually pretty well spoken after I get a conversations going about what I've listened to you and things, and it's really great. I think you're great, George. But I'm really concerned. I don't know what alternatives I have anymore except for possibly morphine. And I hear that's a downhill run when you start. And I don't know really what to do. I'm really scared. I sit here.
All right. I'll tell you what I'd like you to do, if you would, Tim. Go to tonight's show on the website, coasttocoastam.com. You'll see under show guests, the first guest was John Rappaport. Click that. That'll take you to his website. Send him an email and explain to him what's going on with you. He will get back to you with some really important suggestions that I think can help you a lot. So just go to our website, look for the first guest we had tonight, John Rappaport. Click his name, his website will come up, send him an email, and he'll do something for you, which will be important. That's got to be frustrating, Barry, for people.
Oh, look, it is. And I know I'm a subscriber of John. I've had him as a guest. He's wonderful. And I know he's got some pretty strong views in this area. But I think it still gets back to us. And our own responsibility. We've got to start looking. I mean, if your car kept on breaking down all the time, would you keep on taking it back to the same mechanic? Or would you start looking for somebody else to maybe fix it and stop creating all this trouble all the time? I believe we are giving our power away to the medical system in many ways. And it's up to us to do something rather than just keep on taking the pills.
We have Crystal in Santa Rosa, California now, west of the Rockies with us. Hi, Crystal. Go ahead.
Hi, how you doing?
Great,
well,
Crystal.
I'm going to get back to your psychic thing. I've always had something weird. The 25th of the month, I thought the 12 days of Christmas was about my birthday. My sister's birthday's on the 25th. My mother's divorce, the first one, was on the 25th, and it goes on and on and on. My mother and my grandmother died 31 days apart from their birthdays. And the 18th is where we're numbered, my family.
What a time that must
be. I screamed, fire, 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 when I was 8 years old. And then the phone rang. And my grandparents' home and business had burned to the ground on Thanksgiving morning.
You had it. You have this intuition about you.
I don't know how to control it.
Ah.
I don't know how to use it. I know the winner of the Kentucky Derby every year.
Oh, really?
And it comes in a puzzle.
Why don't you call us before the Derby next May?
But I never bet the hell out of it. Never.
Well, Tommy will do it if you give him the right tip.
I knew who was going to win. I knew who was going to win the World Series this year. I mean, not right off the get go because I don't follow baseball. But when I found out when the four teams were left, I went, "Oh, Houston's going to win this." They had all that hurricane stuff.
You got to email us these things. Now I got to ask you this very twofold question. First of all, when people try to profit from somebody who is psychically inclined, doesn't that backfire?
Very definitely, George. I know this for a fact. I used to have a builder many years ago, and he was a mad Irishman. And he used to go out and help people. And he would help them if they were needing hospital treatment or a funeral to pay for or whatever. He would find out exactly how much they needed. He would then go and put money on a horse or quinellas or whatever, and he would win that amount of money for them. And all he would do was take back the original amount that he invested. So if he put $10 each way, well, he took that $10 back. And he, every time he did this for somebody else, the money came through and he was able to help people. But I talked to him about it and I said, Patrick, what would you do if you were doing it for yourself? He said it wouldn't work.
No, it backfires. Matter of fact, funny story, we have a numbers lady. She's a numerologist, and she believes that if you put the number 8 in your purse or wallet or in your pocket, you're going to get some unfound riches. And so a friend of mine who has passed on, he was a restaurateur here in Los Angeles, heard that night. And so he put an 8 in his wallet, and he went to a casino, and he wins $2,000. He is jumping for joy. He's telling Tom and I the story a couple days later at the restaurant. And he said, I can't wait to go back. And I said, wait a minute. His name was George, too. And I said, George, don't do this. Greed will get you. Yep. And he said, no. I've got the number in my wallet. I'm ready to go. Sure enough, next time we saw him, he lost it all.
Lost a lot.
And then some.
Yeah.
And then some.
Well, of course, number 8 is regarded as the number, particularly by a lot of Asian people. 8 is the number of prosperity and everything like that. My partner, Anne Morgenoff, who co-wrote the book with me of Joy of Living, she is a numerology expert. So I must ask her about this, putting an 8 in your handbag or your pocket or your wallet or whatever. But I agree. I think once you start doing this and trying to beat the system like that, then you are asking for trouble.
Let's take a few more calls here, time permitting. It's Samira in Seattle, Washington. Samira, go ahead. Welcome to the show.
Hey, how are you guys?
All is well. Thanks.
Hi.
Okay, I was wondering if you knew about anything about Qigonging, like Qigong, and how well that is good for everything, your health. In fact, it says the average savings per U.S. citizen would be $9,000 a year if people emphasized wellness and self-empowerment and basically did Qigong. Qi means life force. And then I also wanted to say that meditation is the way out of body, and that's how spiritual it is, because your vibration, your frequency has to match the astral plane that you go to, and you can meet your spirit guides. So, like, if your mind is silent and still, if you get to that point, that's when the magic happens.
Well, with Qigong, I think you have the ability to create energy. People who are very good at this, Barry, can literally push somebody over and not even be next to them.
Oh, it's a wonderful thing. Have you ever tried it?
I have tried it. I've never been able to move anything.
No, I haven't either. But I've just done it as a kind of exercise, and It really does. It's very, very powerful.
Well, there are so many things people can tap into the unknown, to be able to do these remarkable things.
Well, that's what I said before, George. It's a unique trip that we're all on here. And if we all followed Qigong or astrology or numerology or mediumship or whatever, how boring would that be? We've got to have this diversity, because there's so many wonderful things to explore.
They really are. And let's get back to, of course, how this all started for you. In this particular case, you came down with cancer. Do you think you were able to beat it because of your attitude, or was it simply because of chemotherapy and radiation?
Well, I didn't have chemotherapy. I was determined not to, because my intuition screamed at me, no. So I didn't. But yeah, look, I think attitude, it's a combination of everything. The power of the mind, the attitude, the conquering of the fear, the taking responsibility, throwing everything at it. And this is what I did. I had so many wonderful people come out of the woodwork just to help me. When I asked for help from my guides, then other people, whether they got the message from the guides or from the universe or whatever, I don't know. But I had people contacting me. I even had a congregation ask if they could pray for me. I thought, well, yeah, look, I don't mind. I'm not into the church-going side of things. I'm more of a spiritual person. But I was very happy that the congregation would want to pray for me. So you take whatever you can, and you throw everything at it. But you don't just sit back and wait for something to happen.
You have to make it happen. You've got to make it happen. Aaron in Indianapolis, welcome to the show. Aaron, go ahead.
Hi, Doris. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing. Good evening.
Hi.
I've had a couple of episodes in my life that were pretty strong. My sister's been gone. She was 18. She died in 1988 of non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. And there have been times, actually more than a couple times, actually at least a good couple of handful of times, where I can still today hear her voice, and she will call my name when I'm doing something or even thinking about something that maybe happened when we were children or our parents or something, and I'm trying to cue in on that a little bit better to maybe sharpen my attentiveness to that, to maybe find out if she's trying to talk to me, and if she is, what is she trying to say to me, but besides just calling my name, you know?
Okay, well, look, once we start thinking very strongly and focusing on somebody who's passed over, they do get the message. There's no doubt about that. That doesn't mean to say they're going to immediately rush to your side, but they have been alerted, and according to the situation, they can be there. And if you're able to communicate, and you're communicating because you're hearing your name called, there's a reason for that. If you were in a room full of people and somebody called out your name, you wouldn't just sort of, you'd go over and you'd find out what's going on. Why not open yourself up and just give yourself permission to start off with, to communicate with this person? And whoever it is, whether it's your sister, whether it's your, whoever on the other side who's contacting you, and you might find them and say, well, look, come on, tell me what it is. But you've got to stop what you're doing. You can't keep on in the middle of something or other and just expect that you're going to get some kind of celestial message floating in from somewhere. You've got to stop and clear your mind a little bit. It's like trying to take a cell phone call in the middle of the Super Bowl. You can't do it with 400,000 screaming fans around you. You've got to go to somewhere quiet. So once you can start to train yourself to do this, you are being contacted from the other side. It happens sometimes like this. It happens through dreams, many different ways. They do communicate with us. We just don't listen and we don't follow through. So give yourself permission and have a go at focusing on that and quietening the mind. Quietening it. That's when it happens.
And when it does happen, do you realize it? Does it hit you that at that point where you know what's going on?
Well, once again, you've got to trust. Sometimes a thought will pop into your mind. Sometimes it's a deep knowing. And once again, you can check this out. You can trust it. You can find out just what that message is. And you can ask a question back again. You're not going mad. You're not having a conversation with yourself. It is actually happening. And ask for information. And the more you do it, it's like anything, as we said before. You rehearse. An actor rehearses lines a lot of times before they get on the stage. And it's a matter of just keeping up with it, keeping at it.
Barry, take a minute to tell us about Radio Out There.
Well, Radio Out There, I started, George, back in 2001 on mainstream radio, and then I put it basically out onto the internet after that a couple of years later. And I talk to people all over the world, exactly the same as you, but you talk to a lot more than I do. And I work in the whole area of the paranormal, the metaphysical, the spiritual, whatever. I have a different guest on every week. I record the show, and it goes out on radiooutthere.com.
Super. And the name of the book, The Joy of Living, available at Amazon. Has it hit the bookstores yet?
It has. I had a friend the other day saying they were in San Antonio and actually saw it in a Barnes & Noble store there.
Perfect.
So there you go.
All right, my friend. Stay in touch with us, Barry, okay?
George, thank you so much for having me on. I thoroughly enjoyed being on the program.
Barry Eaton, who had cancer and used his psychic abilities along with the mainstream medicine to fight this. You know what? He's better for it, to be sure. He's better for it, to be sure. Great programs for you for the rest of the week, so make sure you're keeping your radio right on your favorite station. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burrows, and George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.